For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
In front of a sellout crowd of over 11,000 fans, FC Dallas came up short in their season home opener. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Into the Net FC. My name is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. In my first ever opportunity to personally cover an association football match as a sports journalist live in the press box, I can honestly say, even though FC Dallas got destroyed in a humble way, I am still blessed to have had the opportunity. I want to send a huge shout out to my business partner, Mr. Darnell Salins, aka The Playmaker, for helping make this happen. Ladies and gentlemen, as all of you know, I am currently on a mission. I have been running Into the Net FC for about 5 years now. And in my career and in my life as a passionate fan of this game, I've never had quite an interest in the MLS. And I told myself that needs to change. Personally, at the urging of several close friends, one, of course, the fiercely opinionated Mr. Josh McSwain, who actually took me to my first FC Dallas game, was a huge part of it. Also, my good friend and my mentor, Mr. Steve Adams, who took me to an LAFC game several years ago, was also a big part of it. And of course, Mr. David Scappin. So I want to thank these gentlemen for really convincing me to give the MLS a try. Now, before I get into this game about FC Dallas, and I'm sure I might have said this already in the previous episode, but I don't remember. Why have I never gotten deep into the MLS before? I think it's because I just didn't find the MLS to be as good as what I see in the European competition. Now, don't get it twisted. I've never had a disdain for the MLS. I've never thought that the MLS was bad. Now, I did say several times that it was boring compared to the European competition. But listen, I was being ignorant. I'm not going to lie. I was being extremely, extremely ignorant, okay? Because when Steve took me to the LAFC game back in 2019, you know, honestly, at first, see, here's how it goes. Steve had offered me a choice. Go to a Dodgers game or go to the LAFC game. And I said, well, I've been to baseball games before. Let's go to the LAFC game because I've never been to an MLS game. And that's where I basically confessed to Steve that I had been so ignorant about the MLS. So I said, you know what, Steve, that changes today. So let's go to the LAFC game. So I credit Steve for introducing me to the MLS. So Steve, from the bottom of my heart, thank you, brother. And of course, I credit Josh. I credit David. I credit Darnell for helping me convince, you know, to make this particular try. I figured this is definitely a good career move for me as a lifelong fan of the game and as a sports journalist that has been covering association football for well over 10 years now. There's always something worth trying, ladies and gentlemen, and this was just it for me. So as I sat there in the press box representing the Playmakers blog as well as my show Into the Net FC, along with several other journalists that were covering or representing Chicago, the Chicago Fire, or FC Dallas, I had the honor of speaking to several of them. I can honestly say, God, it felt good. Now let's really get into this game. Well, FC Dallas certainly had an advantage, but it all came crashing down. Maybe a little bit of poor defensive play, specifically when they conceded, but the ultimate talking point is the fact that numerous scoring chances that were wasted ultimately came back to bite FC Dallas right in the butt. right in the butt. You know, and as I was watching from the press box, now I was observing. Now, if you're following me on Twitter at Bearman of Texas, just TX, no need to spell it out. Just look for the Bear of Texas. That's me. Now, I was tweeting updates throughout the game, and of course, I was retweeting it from my podcast account, the Bear of Texas podcast, and I was always retweeting it through the Playmakers blog account as well. You see, that's kind of what I do, okay? I kind of basically do that sort of coverage. Now, of course, I was taking some notes, but, you know, the way I was doing things, the way I was watching, I was kind of basically keeping the notes in my head. I mean, that's just how it is, you know, sometimes when you're covering the sport for so long. The fact that FC Dallas was just missing opportunity after opportunity, well, that said something, but the fact is, it's not like, I mean, they were relentless. FC Dallas was relentless on the attack, so I figured that it would only be a matter of time before FC Dallas finally puts the ball into the back of the net, but I said to myself, one goal cannot do it. FC Dallas is going to have to double the lead, double the advantage. So after a hard-fought first half, specifically from both, because FC Dallas was so relentless on the attack that Chicago was being so resilient on the defense, so it was a hard-fought first half by both teams, and it was a scoreless draw. So at that point, Chicago is the one who had the advantage because no matter how much pressure that was inflicted on them, Chicago's resiliency and courageous play kept them from being behind. So it's just unfortunate. I mean, again, in front of a sold-out crowd at Toyota Stadium in beautiful Frisco, Texas. I mean, it was pretty brutal. I'm not going to lie the first half. But at the same time, you know, Chicago had scoring chances of their own, and they didn't really capitalize. As a matter of fact, FC Dallas goalie had a save that was so tremendous, it really gave me the Thibaut Courtois vibes. That's actually what I told one of the journalists that was sitting next to me. She was covering the Chicago Fire. So, I mean, I said to her, because we were looking at the replay on the screen, and I said to her, based on how that play went, you know, it was a Thibaut Courtois moment. So, I can honestly say that I think I provided a little bit of something to add to her story. Because she literally asked me, think I should say that in my article? I said, absolutely you should. And I instructed her, if you can find a clip on Twitter that shows that save, you can embed it into your article. Of course, if your editor allows that strategy. But then in that case, you know, I wouldn't see why it would not be allowed. But, you know, in these articles, when you have to put these particular clips of the highlights or whatever, I said, if you're fortunate enough to find that particular clip that shows that play, I would put it in. So, you know, it's very common for journalists / sports writers to give each other some advice. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we're all there working. So, yeah, I was glad to be of assist. You know, I'm always glad to be to help others. So, yeah. So Chicago had chances of their own, which they missed. But the bottom line is, at this point, if it's of any relevance at this point, it's at very low because Chicago scored 3 goals to win 3-1. Silly as that sounds. They scored 3 goals and won 3-1, I should say. They scored 3 goals and won 3-1. I shouldn't say they scored 3 goals to win 3-1. Again, y'all, it's late Sunday evening. I've had a long day. Bear with me a little bit, please. You know, but but Chicago, while they had missed chances of their own, I mean, Chicago kind of made the most of it, but as far as I'm concerned, Chicago now in the Eastern Conference, well, they're still in eighth place, and this was their first win of the season. Chicago came into this game with 1 draw and 1 loss, while FC Dallas came in with 1 win and a draw. So Chicago's now in eighth place in the Eastern Conference, while Dallas, unfortunately, has actually dropped about 4 or 5 spots. I don't remember if they were number 4 or number 5, you know, coming into that game. But the bottom line is, FC Dallas has dropped significantly, and they're now in 9th place with 1 win, 1 draw, and 1 loss. So, FC Dallas is going to have to pick up the pace. They're actually just 1 point ahead of Austin FC. Houston Dynamo is in 13th place. The Houston Dynamo remain winless. They're at 2 losses and a draw. As a matter of fact, the 6-time champs, the defending MLS champions, the LA Galaxy, are 0-3. Well, I'm curious to know what my good buddy, Mr. Steve Adams, has to say about it. Now, as everybody knows, for several years, I've kind of told myself that I love FC Dallas, but I also love LAFC. Okay. If you know me, then you know that while there's teams that are close to my heart, I don't have a favorite club. I mean, that goes for Real Madrid. That goes for Olympique Lyonnais, the club of my French hometown. Look, when it comes to the MLS, when it comes to FC Dallas and LAFC, look, they're close to my heart, but I love the game. Again, this is the same concept goes for the MLS. I just love the game. But I will confess that San Diego FC is a team that I have my eye out on so far this season. San Diego FC is so far has yet to lose, two wins and a draw. They kicked off their season with a win on the road against the LA Galaxy. Hey, now that was incredible. I believe on Saturday they had a win on the road against Utah. Or, well, I should say against Real Salt Lake, I should say. Yeah, against Real Salt Lake. Their first home game was a scoreless draw against St. Louis. And kind of a bad night. But San Diego FC, I've got my eye out on. So, yeah. So, I'm basically what I'm trying to say is I want to cover the MLS like I cover the European competition. Now, this particular episode is obviously surrounded by it revolves around FC Dallas, I should say. This particular episode revolves around FC Dallas because this is part of my duty that I've been bestowed upon by my business partner who runs the website, the Playmakers Blog. So now, as far as me covering other teams on this show, that'll certainly definitely happen. Like, I might do an episode on San Diego maybe after the next game. If the LA Galaxy go 0-4, I'll probably do an episode on that. I mean, who knows? I mean, I'm still trying to get acclimated to the MLS because I'm not used to the MLS. You know, I never had a desire to cover the MLS up until this particular season, although I did, in fact, cover the MLS several times on the show when LAFC won the championship in 2023, when Giorgio Chiellini was added to LAFC, when Gareth Bale, Hugo Lloris, Olivier Giroud. So I've done some coverage on the MLS, but I've never actually done weekly game coverage, especially with FC Dallas. But I did talk about, you know, the trade that FC Dallas made a couple weeks ago. What was it? Jesus Ferreira, however it goes, who now plays for the Seattle Sounders. So I'm still trying to boost things up as far as my experience with the MLS goes. So again, please, y'all, bear with me. But so now back to the MLS. I know I got off topic several times, so I apologize for that. Sometimes the passion of the game just has me do that. You know, maybe it's just in my control. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But so what happened to FC Dallas in this one? Well, FC Dallas took the lead, but that wasn't until about the 57th minute, okay? Logan Farrington scored his first goal of the season in the 57th minute for FC Dallas, and that came with an assist from Anderson Julio, which, of course, was an off-season acquisition. In Anderson Julio's case, this is actually his first assist of the year. Anderson Julio actually scored his first goal in that road win against the Houston Dynamo a few weeks ago in the opening in FC Dallas' opening game of the season, which, of course, was on the road. FC Dallas started out their season on the road. As a matter of fact, I don't think I actually did an episode about FC Dallas's 3-3 draw on the road against Colorado. Apparently, I just didn't feel the need, but you know what? I might as well, because I'm not only writing about FC Dallas. In order for me to kind of boost this particular concept of me covering FC Dallas and the MLS overall, I might as well do more episodes. So again, that's why I have a little bit of a desire to talk about San Diego FC to cover them this particular season. But of course, I'll do a standings update, although I kind of already did. But Logan Farrington scored his first one, but you know, unfortunately, FC Dallas didn't get the win. Now, I will say, when Logan Farrington scored for FC Dallas, it was brilliant. And of course, it was off of a massive blunder by the Chicago Fire goalie. And when a Chicago Fire player made a last-second ditch effort to basically prevent the goal, well, it was too little, too late. FC Dallas had basically put the ball in the back of the net. FC Dallas had found themselves ahead. Now, FC Dallas did have a goal taken away in the first half due to an offside, which was very, very unfortunate because that finish was very, very brilliant. But again, all those missed scoring opportunities were sooner or later going to somehow, someway, maybe possibly bite Dallas right in the butt, and ultimately they did. Now, for the Chicago Fire to win the way they did, I mean, you know, first of all, I should remind everybody that the head coach for the Chicago Fire is the former U.S. men's national team head coach, Greg Berhalter. I mean, how about that? So Greg Berhalter, I mean, after being sacked as manager of the U.S. men's national team, I mean, I knew that he was eventually gonna land a job, you know, with the MLS. I didn't think it would be so quick, but you know, and I'm glad that he found another job. Now, Chicago wasn't off to the best start, but they're now one win, one draw, and one loss, and they're in eighth place in the Eastern Conference standings of the MLS standings. So things will probably get better for the Chicago Fire. We'll see. Now, as a matter of fact, here's something interesting about this series. FC Dallas leads the all-time series against the Chicago Fire with a record of 22 wins, 18 draws, and 5 losses. I wonder if that loss actually was updated after the recent the loss on Saturday night. So, start off good, but unfortunately, it did not end well. And, well, I think, also at the end, believe it or not, when Chicago took the lead, the goalie, Martin Pice, which I hope I said that correctly, Martin Pice, who actually born in the Netherlands, but believe it or not, he plays for the Indonesian national team. How about that? So, Martin Pice originally made a save by deflecting the shot, but unfortunately did not secure it, and a Chicago Fire player was at the right place at the right time when Chicago took the lead. Now, Chicago did not equalize until the 82nd minute, but this is what's brutal for FC Dallas. Chicago equalizes in the 82nd minute, and 2 minutes later, they take the lead. So, in a span of about 2 minutes, Chicago went from trailing to being ahead in a span of about 2 minutes. And that's incredible. You can't take that away from Chicago, okay? And in the first minute of stoppage time, Chicago added a third goal off of a penalty. Chicago just basically showed that resilience. So because of how things ended, especially for FC Dallas, well, obviously the head coach had something to say about it. So here it is, and I quote, "First, I'd like to apologize to our fan base. They didn't deserve what happened tonight. This is my responsibility. I've been entrusted with leading this club on a mission. As coaches, we impact the game through our decisions, and this one was on me. The game was under control. I can make better decisions, and I'll leave it at that." Unquote. Well, first of all, massive kudos to the head coach for taking responsibility. You see, the entire team has to take responsibility, including the coach. Because at the end of the game, ladies and gentlemen, what we have to understand and what we have to keep in mind is that this is a team effort. It's teamwork that makes the dream work. So there were managerial mistakes, but there were mistakes from the players. I mean, this whole team, they lost as a team, and it happens. But after, you know, things change, I mean, Eric Quill, the head coach of FC Dallas, did say, and I quote, "We scored the goal to gain momentum and even thought ahead to the next 5 minutes. I felt we continued to control the game with our mentality. Then I chose a different approach. I could have kept Logan Farrington on the field longer. The game didn't need the changes I made. As a coach, I impacted the game through my decisions, and we went flat in the last 25 minutes instead of getting stronger," unquote. See, I praise Eric Quill for taking full responsibility for it. You see, so at this point, I know that they're going to spend the next week or so preparing for Vancouver, who will be in town in Frisco, and I'll be at that game as well. So FC Dallas has to get on the right track. Now, goalkeeper Martin Pice did actually provide a statement on what changed during the match, and I quote, "Football is a game of moments. One goal can change the entire momentum. We need to be more mature. At the 70-minute mark, there were no problems, just some chances, which is normal. But we have to be much more mature in how we respond after a setback," unquote. Now, as far as the game this week against Vancouver, he did say, and I quote, "We are going to be extremely motivated, really motivated. We know that last year Vancouver won here 3-1. So we understand they're a strong team. They have a lot of talented individuals, but they're also a well-organized team. We need to be ready and match their intensity," unquote. Well, Martin Pice again. Unfortunately, you know, when he conceded that goal that put Chicago Fire ahead, it's unfortunate, and it happens. You know, sometimes, you know, he can make the save. I mean, making the saves doesn't always mean that the goalie is gonna secure the ball. A save could be when the goalie just deflects it away. I mean, that's a save too. Some people always ask, isn't it a save only when the goalie basically catches it or deflects it and then keeps it from going away from him? I mean, saves can go in numerous ways. Now, keep in mind, Chicago had 7 shots on target. So, that would mean that Pice had 4 saves, at least 4 saves. I mean, so he did make several saves. And FC Dallas had 6 shots on target. So, again, at that point, if I'm going to mention FC Dallas, you know, missing scoring opportunities, hey, I might as well mention that Chicago did as well. But again, Chicago made more of them count than FC Dallas. And again, this is not a knock on FC Dallas. I mean, I'm just telling the truth, okay? I mean, nothing personal. I'm just telling the truth. But, you know, FC Dallas obviously has a lot to work on. There's a lot of room for improvement. Again, not a knock on FC Dallas at all. I'm just saying. So, you know, and it's only 3 games. There's no reason to hit the panic button at all. But honestly, it's just that FC Dallas fans were a little bit frustrated yesterday. But anyway, FC Dallas just gotta take care of business. Now, Logan Farrington on his goal did say something. Now I'm gonna get back to a little bit of the stats in a little bit. Computer is just being slow, so I apologize. But Logan Farrington said, you know, on his goal, and I quote, "I saw Julio get the ball out wide. I know he likes to make a few moves and beat his defender on the inside. When he cut in, I took off and he saw my run. My first touch was a little heavy, but I knew I could get in front of the keeper, maybe even draw a penalty. They ran into each other and I got a little lucky with it, but you always need a little bit of luck to score a goal," unquote. Again, that goes back to what I said when that goalie certainly committed a blunder, because remember, the goalie sprinted forward. So maybe that's why Logan thought that maybe he was going to be able to draw a penalty. I mean, who knows? A lot of things could happen, and you just don't expect it. But, you know, at this point, what we saw is it was a massive blunder, and FC Dallas just took advantage of it. And FC Dallas did what they needed to do. But hoping to draw a penalty is not always the best way to go. I mean, if you can spot a chance, you have to take it. You can't, because honestly, it's not wise to fully rely on a penalty. If you're confident that you're going to draw a penalty, then okay, fine, that says something. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, drawing a penalty is not always the best way. And yes, it was actually 4 saves total by the FC Dallas goalie and 5 by the Chicago Fire goalie. So I'm glad that actually is there. But as far as clearances and whatnot, Goal.com doesn't provide these statistics like they do with European competition, but 4 saves by FC Dallas goalie Martin Pice. So I would still say Martin Pice, despite that blunder or despite his failure to secure the ball, I still say Pice. Even though he conceded 3 goals, I still think he had a respectable performance. But conceding the 3 goals obviously doesn't do him any favors. But it's not entirely on him, because there was a few defensive mishaps as well by the FC Dallas defense. So again, you know, FC Dallas just, you know, at one point seemed to have control, but like I said, their inability to add to that lead just ultimately doomed them. But ultimately, all the missed scoring opportunities just really it just honestly hurt them. I mean, again, you look at it, 6 shots on target for FC Dallas and only one of them counted. So 5 saves by the Chicago Fire goalie. I mean, hey, gotta give him credit. So then that's done. FC Dallas, of course, takes on Vancouver this week, which is actually going to present a major challenge, because Vancouver is 3-0 and they are on top of the Western Conference standings in the MLS. Behind them is San Diego FC. So there's a couple of teams that are technically still undefeated, because they've yet to actually suffer a loss. In the Western Conference, Vancouver, San Diego, and Colorado and St. Louis are the teams that have yet to suffer a loss. Of course, there's 2 teams that are 0-3. The LA Galaxy and Sporting KC are both 0-3. And the Houston Dynamo are with 2 losses and a draw. And basically, the lowest winning team right now is Portland with 1 win and 2 losses. And the same thing goes for Austin and Real Salt Lake. Now, St. Louis jumped up a little bit with that win over the LA Galaxy, but as a matter of fact, I believe they beat the LA Galaxy 3-0. I mean, man, the Galaxy got destroyed by St. Louis FC. So right now, Vancouver's on top. San Jose actually at one point was on top when they were 2-0, but San Jose suffered a loss to Steve's other team, Minnesota United, and San Jose suffered that loss at home. So, of course, San Jose is now in third, and Minnesota's in fourth, and LAFC is right under them. LAFC is 2 wins and 1 loss. They suffered a loss on the road against the Seattle Sounders. You know, pretty brutal for LAFC. I mean, no, LAFC, you know, close my heart, so that kind of hurts a little bit. Well, it was good to see that Olivier Giroud got the start. You know, really would love to see Olivier Giroud get more starts. Now, one thing I'm actually seeing is that Hugo Lloris was actually not only was he not in the starting lineup, he was actually not even on the bench. So I wonder what's going on with Hugo Lloris. We'll see right now. Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't see anything. I don't know if he's hurt, or I mean, I don't know what's going on exactly with Hugo Lloris, but I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Hugo Lloris, but again, in my case, I'm just glad to see that Olivier Giroud got the start, and I'm hoping that Olivier Giroud actually gets a chance to start more, and would really love to see him score some goals, because, you know, Olivier Giroud is, in my opinion, the most underrated French footballer of all time. We'll see how things go moving forward with Olivier Giroud, but they, LAFC, conceding 5 goals in that loss to Seattle. Well, that's bad for LAFC, but LAFC is still in 5th with 2 wins and 1 loss, but a goal differential of -1 because they've conceded 5 goals and scored 4 goals. I mean, they didn't concede any goals until that game, so LAFC had won their first 2 games by only scores of 1-0. As a matter of fact, LAFC started their season against Minnesota at home, and that was a boring game. I actually talked to Steve about it briefly, because, you know, for Steve, that was actually an exciting game for him and a very unique one, because it's LAFC versus Minnesota United, and, you know, he follows both teams as far as I know. Of course, Steve is a native Minnesotan, so obviously he follows Minnesota United, and of course I think of another follower of mine, Mr. Carson Babini, who's also from Minnesota. You know, imagine, you know, was pretty happy with that result as well. And of course, a shout out to Carson, fellow pro wrestling fanatic. Of course, a passionate fan of association football as well. So that's it right now with the Eastern Western Conference. On the Eastern Conference, Philadelphia is on top, 3-0. Inter Miami is second. Of course, Inter Miami, lately there's been talk about regarding Lionel Messi. You know, I'm not sure exactly how much playing time Lionel Messi has gotten so far this season with Inter Miami. Luis Suarez got the start and was deployed as the sole number 9 striker. Again, you probably noticed that I didn't talk about the starting lineups in this one like I do when I discuss European football. But Lionel Messi was actually on the bench, but didn't actually come in the game. Speaking of, you know, Inter Miami, all these players that they have, I mean, Inter Miami just looks to be such an exciting team. I mean, they're off to a very, very good start. And of course, you know, of course, against Charlotte FC, one of the recently newest teams. And of course, you know, seeing Charlotte FC, Wilfred Zaha is now playing for Charlotte FC. He's actually on loan from Galatasaray. So of course, he plays for the Ivory Coast national team. So, you know, it's good to see, you know, him playing, you know, in the MLS. Now, of course, speaking of that, I think former Arsenal player Patrick I'm thinking of somebody else. Never mind. I thought I had mistaken him for the former Arsenal player Patrick Agameng. Again, I apologize if I mispronounce it. So yeah, I got him actually confused for somebody else, for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Got him confused, because I wouldn't have been aware that that Pierre-Emerick, the former Arsenal player, was playing in the MLS, but glad that I clarified that. But as far as I'm concerned, the situation involving Lionel Messi, I'm not entirely sure how much playing time he's gotten so far this season in the MLS. Now, to take a look at some of their games now, they did have that 4-1 win over Miami. Now, I'm not sure exactly when the first game of the season started. I believe it was that game against New York City FC. Well, in that game against New York City FC on the 22nd of last month, Lionel Messi did actually get the start in that one. So since I'm looking at the record, two wins and one draw. So Inter Miami is now on a two-game winning streak. Again, I mean, it's funny, they've had a red card in all three games. They've had a red card in all three games so far. Inter Miami got the 4-1 win on the road against the Houston Dynamo. As a matter of fact, I think I saw a fan actually held a sign saying that they traveled all this way, spent all this money, only for Lionel Messi to actually not play. I mean, Lionel Messi wasn't even on the bench against the Houston Dynamo. So he did start against New York City FC, but now looking at the CONCACAF Champions Cup round of 16, well, Luis Suarez scored in that one as well, but you know, did Lionel Messi play? Well, not from what I'm seeing. So did Lionel Messi have an injury recently that I didn't know about? Again, you'll have to forgive me. My following and coverage of the MLS so far has just been extremely, extremely poor. So obviously, I apologize for that. And of course, later this summer, Inter Miami will be competing in the FIFA Club World Cup. Man, look at that! How exciting! How exciting, man! So Inter Miami's got a lot, you know. Well, another team I'm actually going to keep my eye out on, aside from the usual LAFC, FC Dallas, and so other teams I'm going to keep my eye out on is obviously Inter Miami and San Diego FC. But to take a look at the take one final look at the standings in the Eastern Conference, Inter Miami is in second. The Columbus Crew is in third. So you have Inter Miami, Columbus, and Cincinnati all with two wins and all with two wins. Although Miami and Columbus are at two wins and one draw, while Cincinnati's at two wins and a loss. So as far as I am concerned, from what I see, Philadelphia, Miami, Columbus, and DC United are the teams that have actually yet to suffer a loss so far in the Eastern Conference. Montreal is at the very bottom at 0-3, and right above them is Toronto, who's also winless but with one draw. And then you have New England that's with two losses and a draw as well. So you have three winless teams in the Eastern Conference, and then number 12, you have Orlando City, and above them, you have Atlanta United, and number 10, you have my good buddy, Mr. Uncle Mad, Nashville FC. And speaking of Uncle Mad, he's actually one of the other ones who convinced me to pursue the chance to cover the MLS. Of course, he said on his YouTube channel, I would strongly recommend just check out Uncle Mad. You can just look it up on YouTube. Well, it was unfortunate that, you know, FC Dallas and Nashville FC won't actually meet in the regular season. I mean, right now, the only way they would meet is if it was in the MLS final, but I don't think FC Dallas is, you know, good enough to reach the MLS final, but, you know, you never know. And can now kind of sound like an asshole, but as far as I'm concerned, I mean, certainly an entertaining first start to the season. And again, I'm still, you know, getting my feet wet, testing the water as far as the MLS is concerned. So again, I'm very inexperienced with this, and obviously my coverage of the MLS is nowhere near as good as my coverage of European football, as well as the World Cup and all the other competitions. So I'm working on it, y'all. I'm working on it, and I really appreciate everybody that I really appreciate Josh, Steve, David, Uncle Mad, and everybody else that really expressed their love and support to convince me to give this a chance, and of course my business partner for giving me the chance to actually cover FC Dallas even in person. I really, really appreciate it. I really appreciate all the love and support. Y'all know me, you know, 2025, the year to get my life on track. You know, it's time for me to just really get my life together and just to be, you know, on the straight and narrow. And I think, you know, me covering FC Dallas, me going to the games, certainly has the potential of being a huge help. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm not saying that me going to the FC Dallas games is a bad thing, but we'll just see how things go. I've been to one game so far as a sports writer. Let's see how things going. I mean, for me to go to pro wrestling events as well as sporting events, that certainly helps my mental health, as well as spending time with friends, spending time with family, and of course, having the chance to help others. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, Into the Net FC is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and YouTube. So if you would please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way, I know for sure that you're not going to miss out on any exciting upcoming content. And if you would please, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please leave a 5-star review. I would greatly appreciate it. It's what helps the show continue to grow. Thank you all very, very much. Y'all have a good one, and God bless.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.